Hello, welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and God's word for our consideration is from Paul's letter to the Christians at Rome, chapter 5. I'll begin reading there in verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is the word of our God. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen. Would you play a quick game of word association with me? Just to fill in the blank. Thunder and lightning. Peanut butter. Jelly. Children. Laughter. Love. Marriage. There are some pairs that are relatively easy to make. And even if you thought of something slightly different than what I said, you could probably see how I came up with these things, how they fit together. How about a word like peace? Peace has many pair words, right? Peace and joy. Peace and harmony. Peace and quiet. Peace has so many different partner words. But in Romans chapter 5, Paul gave us another. And this is one that you and I would likely struggle to come up with on our own. But as Paul is guided by the Holy Spirit to encourage and direct people living in Rome during its height about real peace, he pairs peace with suffering. It's a curious thing, isn't it? Peace and suffering seem to be diametrically opposed to one another. How can you have peace and be suffering at the same time? But in Romans 5, God wants us to see and discover the curiously ordinary intersection of peace and suffering. He wants us to see how he has fused them together. As concepts, peace and suffering don't really belong together, right? But experientially, we have seen them coexist. We've met people that seem at peace even as they're suffering terribly. Maybe you've had a conversation with somebody who's inexplicably calm even as they're surrounded by all kinds of menacing storms. Maybe it's a member of your church family here. Somebody who's seen a lot, been through a lot of difficult things. You know their stories. The stories behind their tired eyes, the scars, even the gray hair. They've suffered loss and tragedy and abuse and injustice. And other people might say, well, you know, life has really kicked them around. But you know that they stood up under hardship. They stood firm. They persevered. And they're at peace. Maybe you think of your parents. The struggles they endured for in providing for you and for your siblings. Not only do they put food on the table, a roof over your head, but they taught you who provides daily bread and was preparing a room for you in heaven. You watch them enjoy peace, even in the midst of suffering. You watched Mom smile as Dad was laid to rest. Laugh and tell stories as they sat around for lunch afterwards. You wondered how someone who could be suffering such a great loss could seem to be at peace with it all. But peace pairs well with suffering. At first, maybe it seems curious that Paul would match those up to talk about access to God and grace and hope and also suffering and perseverance and character. But if you really think about it, doesn't that encapsulate the Christian experience? Doesn't it describe every good guy and every noble woman in the Old Testament? Their lives were paradoxes in practice. They suffered, certainly, but they still had peace. They had certainty, despite everything they endured and experienced. Now, today's Old Testament reading was from Job chapter 1, and Job is the perfect example of this. There are few people who suffered losses and tragedies like Job. In just a few verses, he loses most of his material goods and his family. It's hard to imagine suffering like this. Job's suffering was intense, but you heard what he said. May the name of the Lord be praised. He was at peace, despite all the suffering that was taking place around him and taking place to him. But Job's not the only one. There were godly women like Ruth and Esther who suffered in lands that weren't their own. Each woman found herself at a crossroads. They were placed in situations where they had to make difficult decisions. Do I do what I know is right, even if it potentially comes at a great personal loss? For Ruth, that meant leaving her Moabite people and going to Israel with her mother-in-law, living as a foreign widow with only the support of an aging woman who was widowed too. For Esther, that meant going to King Xerxes, a man with a notoriously short fuse, and asking him to overrule his own decree. Some suffering looks like hard work and rejection. God called Noah, for example, to build an ark with specific dimensions. There's no power tools, no laser levels, no big box store to go and get materials. But God measured and designed this vessel to contain 2 of every animal, 7 of every bird and clean animal, and Noah and his wife, his sons and their wives, the 8 of them and all those creatures. Consider the perseverance required to build a boat like that. And it's not like anyone outside those 8 was going to be a lot of help, right? Yet as Noah worked hard on this project, we're told that his neighbors mocked him for it. And yet 2 Peter 2 tells us that Noah was still a preacher of righteousness. He continued to patiently call people to repentance, even though he knew that they were not going to listen. When we look at people like this, whether they're from our circle of friends and family or from the pages of Scripture, it's easy for us to stand back and just be amazed. It's natural to wonder, how did they endure all that? How did they persevere through these troubles? How did they not bend or break or compromise their character? How could they stand firm under those fires and remain hopeful? How could they be at peace even though they struggled and suffered? To us, these people are nothing short of heroes. But if you and I were given the opportunity to sit down and talk with these individuals that we view as heroes in hardship and ask them these very questions, I think we'd be surprised. Christian friends and family, men like Noah, women like Ruth and Esther, would be the first to tell you that they are very much like you. Flesh and blood. Not heroes. At times they felt overwhelmed and ashamed. They were weak and afraid. They cried out for help. They cried tears of sadness. They experienced loss and tragedy. They were anxious about the future. They were imperfect in their actions. In short, they were sinners. Sinners who lived in times and places that were ravaged by sin. Because sin is the reason that people suffer. Yet they had peace. How? Why? Where did they find it? Well, they did not find peace through careful searching. They did not manufacture peace personally through their meticulous planning or measured appeasing. They didn't fabricate peace in their minds through indifference to pain or ignoring suffering. They did not create their own peace. Rather, peace found them. Peace called them by name. Peace is the one who placed them in these particular times and places, spaces ravaged by suffering. Peace was poured out into their hearts. Peace prepared them and sustained them through suffering. Peace produced a perseverant spirit. Peace embodied the character necessary for times such as these. Peace gave them hope. And Paul tells us that we have the same peace because peace isn't some abstract concept. It's not just a hand gesture or a hollow wish of a beauty contestant. No, peace is a person, and we have peace with God through this person, through our Lord Jesus Christ, the one we rightly acclaim as the Prince of Peace. You see, sin is the reason that people suffer, yet God is the reason that we have peace, and we do have peace. We can stand and boast even as we suffer and wonder whether we're capable of standing this any longer. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Because the cup of our peace overflows, even when we're in the presence of our enemies and dealing with suffering. Because God, our Creator, so loved the world that as God the Father, He sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to redeem us from sin. He promised that whoever has faith, this gift that the Holy Spirit provides, would not perish but have eternal life. This is God's plan for peace. But in order to establish a peace like that, a peace that passes all understanding, that guards your hearts and minds, that sustains us and stands steadfast, even in difficult days. In order to create a peace like that, peace and suffering had to intersect first. And there was a place where peace and suffering crossed path, where perseverance stood firm, a place where the true character of God was revealed. On Calvary, the hope of nations was lifted high. He was condemned so that you and I might be justified. He was pierced by hateful men so that we might have access to the grace of our holy God. Jesus was punished, as the prophet Isaiah says, so that we might have peace. He is the reason that you and I, Esther and Ruth, Job and Noah, people who suffer, have peace that guards us, that sustains us, that restores us. Now, when we look at people like Esther and Ruth, Noah and Job, we may marvel. We may marvel at Job's attitude of praising the name of the Lord when he's lost everything. We may marvel at Ruth leaving her home behind to go to Israel, but Jesus left his throne, his glory in heaven, to come to earth. Yes, Esther stood before a king with a short temper when she knew that her life was on the line, but Jesus stood before a Roman governor who was on a short leash, knowing that this man lacked the courage, the fortitude to actually protect his life. Noah worked hard on his ark, and his friends and neighbors mocked him. Jesus worked hard at the plan of salvation. He was good and kind. He was patient and gracious. He was a servant, even when it would have been unsatisfying and seemingly pointless to anyone else. He was a teacher when instructing was hard. He was a good shepherd, even though it was personally dangerous and detrimental. He spoke up even when he knew how unpopular it would be, and he was silent when others would say it was ill-advised. Jesus was a doer of righteousness in thought, word, and deed. Even when he knew his friends would abandon him and criminals would mock him, he continued to patiently call people to repentance. And Jesus knew better than Noah did, who would never listen. Jesus knew what lay before him was not an ark that would save him, but a cross that would kill him. And that by dying, he would save his enemies. But all the pain and the suffering, the sorrow and the struggles, none of that thwarted Jesus from God's plan. They were prophesied as integral pieces to the plan of salvation. In Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we see God's patient perseverance. We see the character of his love. We see how peace was earned through pain and suffering, through sacrifice and trouble. Why would it be compromised in our lives when we experience these very same things? They're not. And that's why Paul says that we boast in the hope of the glory of God. In fact, we can even glory in our sufferings because we know that God is accomplishing something wonderful. Perseverance and character are things that are best learned and developed under trying times. During trying times such as these, our peace with God never fluctuates. While our pleasures may ebb and flow, God's wrath isn't intensifying. When our sadnesses and loneliness stacks up and our joy and our companionship falls apart, it's not that God's love is being diminished in any way, because suffering and struggles cannot threaten our hope. In fact, they deepen our appreciation of peace. They amplify our assurance because we know God isn't punishing us. He's only allowing this to grow us. He's not ignoring us or overlooking us, but rather conforming us to his will and his image and looking over every single detail. And this is why we can glory in our sufferings, because we know God's at work. Because we know this is how peace was secured for us. This was the price to purchase peace for us. Now, to the world, this is a curious thing. They play the word association game with Christians, and they'll say things like hypocrite and goody two-shoe. But show them your life. You may not feel like much, but to watching eyes, you might be a regular Ruth. You might be an everyday Esther. You might be some normal guy that has a lot in common with Noah. But peace not only coexists with suffering in your life, you are an example of peace that passes all understanding. You are an example of peace that has been guarded, has kept your mind, your body, your heart, and your soul. You may not look at yourself as any kind of hero, and that's fine, but you have hope. And your hope does not disappoint. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name once again is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht. It's been a pleasure and a privilege to proclaim to you the peace that we have, not because we've discovered it, not because we've secured it, but because God has gifted it to us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, poured it out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, through word and sacrament. If you would like to have this peace, to know this peace better, I invite you to visit our website at azriveroflife.com. There you'll find opportunities to gather together with us in God's house to be reminded and reassured of the peace that passes all understanding. May God continue to guard your hearts and minds with his powerful and eternal peace. Until next time.